Welcome to the Women in EMS Michigan Chapter Podcast. I'm your host, Andrea Boss. Joining me on this podcast episode is Becky McKim, Stryker Account Manager in Northern Michigan. In this episode, I sit down to talk with Becky about the importance of building strengths-based relationships from a place of passion and accountability. Together, we'll discuss how personality traits and self-awareness can impact the success of the relationships we build. Now let's get into it. Becky, tell us a little bit about yourself.
Thank you for having me, Andrea. I started my career in medical sales over 20 years ago, so I've been around for quite some time. About 10 years ago, I was told about Stryker's emergency care division, how amazing it was to work with the EMS customers and fire customers. I started the interview process with them, and shortly thereafter, I was lucky enough to be chosen as the Michigan account manager for EMS. Starting off back then, my initial product portfolio included like all the ambulance cots, fasteners, stair chairs, and has since expanded to cardiac monitors, mechanical CPR devices, and AED. The thing I noticed first was how awesome the EMS call point was. I quickly fell in love with it. I love the energy that EMS has. I love the passion I see and the kindness I witness when I see my customers in action, and I find that to be a huge inspiration to me. I recognize that EMS is a very tough industry to be in, and medics are overworked and underpaid. And like I said, I just find my customers to be a huge inspiration because of their ability to positively impact the lives of others, even though they're faced with all of these challenges on a daily basis.
So what are a few of your personality strengths, and how did you uncover them and leverage them during your career?
Well, my organization uses the Gallup interview method for hiring, and each new employee takes part in what's called a Strengths Finder assessment. I believe the assessment has been updated since I took it way back when, and it's now called Clifton Strengths Finder for anyone who's interested in investigating that a little bit. And according to this assessment, my top five strengths in order are achiever, learner, competition, maximizer, strategic, and relator. And those are just fancy words for personality types, basically. I had a bit of an aha moment, I think, after I took this assessment, because I could see all these strengths clearly in my personality, both professionally and personally. And over the years, the way that they present themselves within my daily life has evolved, but they have maintained their consistency over time. So I can see that they truly are part of who I am. The ways that I've leveraged my strengths in my career are really twofold. So first, we have to think internally. So how do I leverage my strengths internally with my organization? Well, to continue working in my position, I have to be successful at what I do, right? So I'm not going to help anyone if I get fired. So I need to use my strengths to make sure that I succeed for my organization. Being an achiever has certainly helped with this. Achievers tend to work hard and get satisfaction from being busy and productive. And then competition also helps because sales is very competitive. So in addition to the obvious competition that I have with some other manufacturers out there, I'm also competing against my own performance in years past. I'm competing and ranked among my peers internally. So that strength means that I really like to measure my progress and against others, and I really am driven to succeed. So that's been helpful internally to keep me successful. On the other hand, I leverage a lot of these strengths when working directly with customers. So as a relator, I find great satisfaction having close relationships with customers and working with them to help achieve their own goals. As a learner, I think that's really helpful because I tend to want to continuously improve what I'm doing. So I take best practices that I'm learning from customers and share them with others. And this could be anywhere from like an application technique on a Lucas to like inventory management at a large private EMS company. So I think that customers really appreciate that. My strategic strength is one of my favorites because customers are often facing challenges when it comes to balancing their needs versus budgets. So I encourage customers to plan ahead more so, way more so than they probably think they need to do. So that can mitigate any budgetary surprises and build a solid plan for education and implementation of devices. I often provide alternative strategies as well for customers to help justify expenses and work within their budgetary constraints. So if they're thinking, well, I can never do this because of one reason, I say, well, let's look at it this way and see how we can justify this by improving efficiencies or other things that might be slightly out of the box thinking for them. So that's great. And then lastly, being a maximizer is probably the reason we're having this conversation in the first place. So a maximizer focuses on strength as a way to grow personal and group excellence. So maximizers want to take something good and make it even better. So I try to use my strengths to help succeed both personally and professionally, but I also try to identify and maximize the strengths of others that I am working with to provide great outcomes for themselves and their organization. So I think that's really important.
Just looking to my right here, I actually have that book on my bookshelf, and it did come with the personality survey. And of course, I can't remember all of them, but one of them that comes to mind, I think I got like something like futurist and visionary. I can't remember the others, but I did find that assessment when I got the results, I did find that it was really spot on. It resonated. So yeah, it looks like the author, I can't quite reach it, but it's Tom Rath. It's called Strengths Leadership. And it does come with the assessment. So that's a really great tool. And I'm glad you brought that up. It definitely highlights where you can go when it comes to personality assessments. I know some of us are familiar with like the Myers-Briggs and some of the others that have been around a long time, but the strengths-based assessment is a pretty cool one. So that's a great recommendation. I love how you tied that to how you use those strengths to leverage your career. And I think we can all do a little bit of that. So how can we better recognize the strengths of others to build more authentic relationships?
I think the best way to recognize strengths in others is to really take a few minutes to reflect on your interactions with that person. What are they good at? When do they appear confident? What are they passionate about, both personally and professionally? How do they interact? When do they seem to have a positive reaction to your conversations? When do they have a negative reaction? Strengths aren't always easily identified, especially if someone operates in a very different way than you do. So you might have to really take time to challenge yourself to become very intentionally aware of how people are reacting to your efforts. And once you think you've identified their strengths and passion, really like test out your theory. See if it's working. See if that person reacts in a more positive way to you and therefore build a better relationship with them in the long run by building on their strengths and how you guys can work better together.
Yeah. And that shift in perspective is key, right? Because you might be having an interaction with someone and think, boy, why isn't this going well? Or, you know, something I'm saying is not resonating. And it could be that they're just seeing things from a different perspective based on their lens. So that really ties in nicely to how self-awareness can impact our relationships in the workplace. So any advice for those aspiring to become a little bit more self-aware?
Yeah, I think the principle of self-awareness and leveraging your strengths are applicable to all levels of employees within the EMS industry. You need to leverage your strengths internally to stay in good standing with your employer. You need to leverage your strengths with patients and other providers to achieve the best outcomes possible. And by doing this, by having a strong sense of self-awareness, people tend to feel more fulfilled and satisfied with their careers. And it's really a win-win with everyone involved. So as far as advice, without taking an actual assessment, I think I could have self-identified with many of my strengths and weaknesses if I had done research on the topic. So I would encourage listeners to dig into the topic on their own and identify their own strengths and weaknesses and really put them down in writing and take time to reflect on them every once in a while. It brings you back to a place where you can say, oh, yes, this is why I'm struggling, perhaps, or this is why I'm succeeding, perhaps, and how can I leverage these in a better way to be successful in life in general? So definitely take time to do that. And then resist the urge to become impatient or indifferent or argumentative or frustrated with those that you can't immediately relate to. Challenge to see people and things from the other person's perspective. I do think that relationships and success are built strongly on accountability. So you have to be sure to take a good look at yourself when something isn't working out the way that you thought it would. A lot of times myself and my colleagues, we try to practice the principles of extreme ownership when it comes to accountability. And that helps us really get past challenges that we're facing within our industry.
I love that point about extreme ownership and self-awareness. You know, one of the things that I often do when I'm in some kind of conflict or misunderstanding is I do want to find like, what am I missing, right? Where am I at fault here? Because this is a two-sided interaction. It's not just one-sided. And sometimes we get ourselves in spaces where we're just in dismay, right? Like, how is this not going well? You keep reconveying a point or bringing up an issue. And it's super important to come back to, well, what can I take ownership of? Even if all of the rest of it you really couldn't have prevented or you couldn't have changed, what can I take ownership of in this interaction and at least take that away as your silver lining, even if there is no resolution or it just doesn't quite work out the way you wanted it? Kind of taking those expectations off the table to say, hey, this is what it is, and this is what I can own here, and I have to move on. So tell me a little bit more about extreme ownership. How has this mindset helped you in your career?
Extreme ownership is a leadership philosophy developed by former U.S. Navy SEALs. It really incorporates taking full responsibility of every aspect of your team and its mission. So when you think about a team, that could be my professional team at work. It could be my family. They're my team. All aspects of life. Okay, what is going on with these different aspects of my life and how am I impacting it? And what can I do to stay accountable for the things that I'm doing? The goal is really to stop making excuses and stop placing blame on others and taking ownership of everything you do that impacts yourself and others. This oftentimes will lead others on your team to be inspired to do the same. So the result is a higher engagement and better overall performance for your team, whether that's at home and you're being more supportive and kind to your spouse or your children or more engaged at home, or whether it's your team at work where, hey, you know what, this project of ours didn't work out the way that it was supposed to. So let me take a look at, as the leader of that project, how could I have done better? And then everyone naturally says, well, geez, they're taking a lot of ownership or accountability for this. What did I do? What could I have done better? Was I as engaged as I should have been? Did I work as hard as I could have? Should I have explored different avenues? And it gets people really thinking, and they know that when their leaders or their group or their teammates are really taking a time to reflect on how they could have improved, that they too are inspired to do the same. So while I constantly try to teach this principle of extreme ownership, I am by no means a master. So I think that it has helped me time and time again, though, as I try to go back to those principles and I try to be accountable to my customers and take ownership of my mistakes. I think they appreciate a real response from me when something goes wrong versus an excuse. And I really try to take ownership of my failures internally at my organization. And that in turn, failures lead to opportunities, right, of growth. So if I don't take ownership of what's going on, there's no identifying of a place that I can grow. So I want to grow where I can. And doing that internally at work has led me to opportunities where I have become a better person, a better employee, where I understand things better and can work more effectively with my teammates and my customers. So I think that's just a great thing to strive to be. You know, I'm not a Navy SEAL. I never will be. I wish that I could be as accountable as many people are who live day by day with SWAT from the inside and out, but I just try my best, and that's all that we can ask of ourselves. So it is taking ownership, but it's also giving yourself some grace at times as well.
Yeah. One thing that's coming up for me just in listening to you talk about extreme ownership is the value of coaching. And sometimes, you know, we'll get lucky enough to have somebody on your team that you can go to for coaching, but often you potentially need to go outside, right? So whether that's hiring a coach or enlisting a coach outside, the value there is they can be subjective. They can listen to whatever's bothering you and you can run through scenarios with them. And I have found that extremely helpful in my career when it comes to like increasing self-awareness. So if you find a coach that's really great at their craft, what they'll do is they'll have you walk back details of like interactions or things that just haven't gone well. And they will start highlighting how the other party may have seen things differently where you are not able to see those things within yourself. So I highly recommend that if you're looking to take more ownership and become more self-aware, enlist a trusted coach. And once they get to know your demeanor and your personality traits, they'll be able to draw that out of you and they'll be asking the right questions to be able to point out those blind spots. So then you can see where that particular interaction, relationship, transaction, whatever it may be, has gone south. And that can be invaluable throughout your career where you're going to take that failure. You're going to understand what it is that you missed. You're going to be able to take ownership and you're going to be able to move past those things using a third party that's not a close friend or a boss that maybe you know will clean this story up a little bit for or feel uncomfortable talking to. I have found that to be a really successful and useful tool when it comes to ownership.
Absolutely. And to your point, while you're getting feedback from your coach, one of the things that you learn over time is to take their point of view and self-assess. So the more time that goes by and you're learning about your weakness in the situation, you can start self-identifying over time. It's just a habit, a practice, right? You hear it, you're identifying it, and then you're learning next time, okay, let me reflect on myself. Am I still seeing things in a way that is somewhat maybe closed-minded? Well, let's engage the coach again. And then eventually, hopefully, you can self-identify that and work towards the goal on your own as well. And that's when people really evolve, I think, is when they really change their mindset. And it is definitely through the support of others. And like you said, a coach can be many things, many people in your life, but to have that third party to help you get there is very, very important.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, this has been a great conversation. I think our audience is going to take away a lot of golden nuggets and tidbits that they can use in their daily life, professionally and personally. So now it's time for the podcast signature question. So what does the field of EMS look like to you 50 years from now?
Well, my biggest hope is that EMS evolves into a field with higher reimbursement and wages for employees. I think the field in general is so undervalued right now. Medics will have access to state-of-the-art technology that will help drive the industry towards more telemedicine, less transports, more treating on scenes. And all I can say is this, is that I pray the future is bright, as myself and many of my loved ones will probably be your patients still at that time. And I want nothing but success for the industry. So thank you, Andrea, and thank you to all the listeners out there for all that you do for our communities. As a non-medic myself, I just want you to know how appreciated you are from all of us. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you, Becky. And thank you for joining us on this episode of the Women in EMS Michigan Chapter podcast. To join WEES as a member, you can find us at womeninemergencyservices.org. WEES membership offers mentorship, networking opportunities, career development resources, an exclusive online community, educational opportunities, and member events. Student and organizational discount packages are available. To learn more about the Michigan Women in EMS chapter, you can reach out to Lori Thiel at lthiel, T-H-I-E-L, at mobilemedical.org. To catch the next episodes, you can subscribe to the Michigan Women in EMS chapter podcast on your favorite podcast platform, Apple, Spotify, etc., by searching Moz Monthly. Don't forget to follow WEES on Facebook, Instagram, and LinkedIn. We'll see you soon on the next episode of the Women in EMS Michigan Chapter podcast.